But what we are to do is to press, keep pressing on toward that glory land, that prize of gold that is set before us. We appreciate the presence of each one tonight. The fact that you have interest in eternal things, that you have interest in things of God, in those things that will be eternal. Appreciate the elders within of this congregation giving us the opportunity to present a Bible lesson. And you're coming tonight in order that we might study that lesson together. The subject I've chosen tonight may seem rather peculiar. I want to talk about lost religious people. That may sound strange. Lost religious people. Let me say at the very beginning that we are not studying that lesson to discourage you who are religious. Those of you who are faithful to turn you back. But all of it is to incite us on faithfully, to faithfulness, that we might not be lost as religious people. I realize there are a number of people that are saying that all religious people are going to heaven. They don't read that from the Bible. Christ never inferred that. God is truth. Very beginning, God tells us the truth. Tells us about sin entering the world. The fall of man. The need of salvation. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And all of us who have reached an age of accountability are sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. We all need that which Jesus offers. But Jesus didn't intend to hold out a false idea to any of us and give us a false sense of security by telling us something like we're being told today in the religious circles that as long as you're sincere and honest, that's all it takes. In fact, we can see from the very beginning that few are going to be saved. Now, I don't know how many people were in this world in the days of Noah, but there was, as the little boy said, a whole bunch of them. And it was so wicked that God said he was going to destroy it. All living things. Well, of course, you know how he told Noah to build an ark, and for that long period of time in which he was building it, and of all the people in this world, 8 made it. Not 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's few, isn't it? That's what happened one time. Moses led the people of Israel, probably about 1.5 million in that neighborhood of women, children, and all, the 602 or 603,000 in the census, those able to bear arms. That doesn't include the children, that doesn't include the old folks. And that's a lot of people, God's people, called out people, following God. When they went into Canaan, how many? 2. 2 made it, Joshua and Caleb. Moses didn't even get to go over.
few.
Now, I don't want to belabor that point, but do you get the picture? Jesus tells us many are chosen. Many are called. Many will get. This is not talking about those that never heard the truth. This is not talking about those who are outside and they themselves says, well, I guess I'm just going to hell. They don't even pretend that they're going to heaven. But few, Jesus said, will be saved. Now, how many will that be? I don't know. Will you be in it? That's a serious question. Serious question. Lost religious people. As I said, many people seem to have the idea it really doesn't matter how strictly you follow God, just so you're a follower. Really doesn't matter how you live, just so you hold to the profession. Now, those are false ideas. Turn to Matthew 23. I think this, when we look at this, it's almost shocking. And if I can understand Jesus' attitude, he had a great deal of sympathy and long-suffering to people who were blind spiritually, unlearned, untaught, and he would teach them. But some of the most scathing, point-forward, plain expression Jesus made was to religious people. People claimed to be his. People who had the light, as we would express it. Look at it. The scribes and Pharisees, I'm talking about the Pharisees now, sit in Moses' seat, the religious leaders. Now here's a statement that'll startle us when we look at it. Verse 3. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. Now what's he saying? What they teach you is all right, you do it. But look at the next statement. But do not after their works, for they say and they do not. Isn't that strange? Now look at what that is. You and I would have problems with that, wouldn't we? Somebody get up here and say something and Jesus was saying, now what they tell you, you do it, but don't pay attention to the way they live. That'd be kind of hard, wouldn't it? But that's what he's saying right here. You hold to the truth, but these people, look what they are. They bind heavy burdens. They themselves wouldn't move a finger to bear them themselves, verse 4. What they do is showy, ostentatious. They put on a show. They make broad their phylacteries and the borders their garments. And they like to be up front. And they like to be greeted in the marketplaces and they like to be called Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master. Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. He that's greatest be the servant. One that wants to be great, let him be the least. Woe to you Pharisees, hypocrites! Now, if I got up here and called you my name and called you a hypocrite, that'd be pretty plain, wouldn't it? Do you know that's the way our Lord talked to people? Religious people? You hypocrites! You shut up the kingdom of God. Oh, no, 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 we're the leaders. You won't go in yourselves, and you won't let people go in that want to go in. Whoa! That wasn't talking to two horses hooked up with a wagon when he said, whoa, that's something awful. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, you devour widows' houses. And for a pretense, make long prayers. Therefore, you shall receive the greater damnation. Religious people, would you say they are bound for heaven? Lost, aren't they? Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. Now, they would make us ashamed sometimes. They would go around the world to make up a convert. How far would you go to make one? And then when they make him, that's getting plain. He says when you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Now what did he say they were? A child of hell. And the ones you convert, you're making them twofold more the children of hell than you are. That sound like they're pretty nice people going right to heaven? Do you get the picture? People can be very religious and lost. And you can go on down through this chapter and you see him the whole chapter pouring it on. I won't take the time for all of it. Lost religious people. Luke 18. You have a situation like it. Luke 18. 9 through 14. Spake a parable unto them. Two men went up to the temple to pray. Now they weren't the reprobates, so they wouldn't be going up there to pray, would they? They weren't those kind that we're talking about, there's no doubt about. They were religious people, went up to pray in this that he's telling us about. One a Pharisee, here they are again, individual Pharisee, and one a publican. He was just about as low as the Pharisee's estimate as you'd want to get. The Pharisee stood and prayed, and I thank God that I'm not like other people, God. Is that the way you pray? Start telling God. God doesn't need to be told how good you are. That's the way this one prayed. Look how good I am. I thank God I'm not bad like these other people over here are. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers. And even this publican, and I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, he wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. I suppose he prostrated himself, but he couldn't even lift up to God. He smote himself. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, which one of those Jesus is getting us to think? Which one of those prayed acceptably to God? You know the answer. What about that one was so religious and prayed? Lost. Get the picture? Just being religious doesn't mean we're going to heaven. That depends on what kinship we really have to Christ. Depends on what we really are. It depends on whether Christ is really living in our hearts. It depends on whether we really intend to go there or not. God made the way possible. Lost religious people. Saul of Tarsus, Acts 9, most of us here probably know about Saul.
When you look at a man, well trained, very religious, very acceptable in the religion of his day. Yet here was a man, because he hated Christians. You look at the kind of a man he was, threatening murders in heart. He wasn't satisfied just to sit back and oppose them verbally. He went out to kill them. Murderous. Religious. You know, that's one thing about the Apostle Paul. Whatever he did with all of his might. And that's what God tells us to do as Christians. And if a man won't do that as a sinner, he's not much apt to do it as a Christian. A person that really, you want me to say that? Did you get what I said? A person that really don't do his best at whatever he does isn't much apt to do his best at something else. It's just basic. Whatever you put your hand to do, do with all of your might. Paul did it. But he was breathing out threatenings. He went and got the papers. He put people to death. Paul never forgot that when he became a Christian. And all his life, that penitent spirit was there. And he called himself sinners above all sinners. But he said he obtained mercy. Why? He did it in unbelief. Ignorance, unbelief. He didn't justify what he was doing. He didn't infer that he would have gone to heaven in that state. But he thanked God that God extended his mercy to him, even though he made havoc of the church of God. There was a religious man and didn't have a chance in the world as he was. Right up at the top of the ladder. Are we getting the picture? Think of the religious people, your friends and mine, your neighbors and mine, brethren, may not make it. Few there be that be saved. Expressed in Matthew 25:1-13. The five foolish virgins. This intelligent audience, I'm sure I don't have to go back into the details of it. He's teaching us about making preparation, ample preparation. Five were wise and five were foolish. What's he talking about? One was the basic principle. How shall we express it? Like a lot of people have today. Let's see now. Tell me, what is the minimum? That's about the attitude. What's the minimum to get by, to be saved? And I'll try to get inside the minimum a little bit. You understand what I'm saying? They want to get just as close to the borderline as they can, and just as far away from God, but not completely at the borderline, thinking that they can still make it to heaven. That's not the way to do it. You'll end up like little Johnny one cold winter night, and Mama sent him upstairs to bed, and a little while she heard the awfulest thump. Johnny, what happened? He said, I laid down too close to where I got in. And that's happening to many people. We don't want to look for the minimum. We don't want to ask the Lord, what's the minimum standard so I can make sure I'm inside it? Jesus commended the 10 or the 5 that made ample
preparation, that had plenty of preparation.
Now, that doesn't infer that you're going to buy salvation, that you're going to earn it, but don't lay down too close to where you get in. Now, let's get to the whole congregation. Revelation 3, verse 14. Revelation 3. I wonder how many churches in America the Lord wrote this to. You know what I mean? Look at it. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. The angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. See, God doesn't have any question about what we're doing. He knows it. He knows what this congregation is doing. He knows what every congregation in Dayton is doing. I know thy works. Uh-oh. Like I said, God's honest and truthful. That thou art neither cold. Now, they weren't just dead. Thou art neither cold nor hot. They weren't on fire for the Lord. They were just sort of in that good, going to church every Sunday, sort of a medium, mediocre sort of, you know what we're saying? Are any of us in that condition? So then, because thou art lukewarm. They say, I'm not saying this is what God says about church like that. And neither cold nor hot. Now, I don't know exactly what he meant with that. Does God rather church be cold or hot? In other words, is there more hope for our church that's cold than a lukewarm one? I don't know what he's exactly meaning here. But because you are neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. Now, that's not a very pleasant thing to say about a church, is it? That's God saying that about a congregation, about a church. Because thou sayest, we're rich, we're increased with goods, we don't have to depend upon anybody, we don't beg, other congregations don't have to help us. I'm paraphrasing, putting in here, but what's in that? We have need of nothing. But you don't know that you are wretched. Think of these words. God's saying this about a church. You're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Lost religious people. This is Christ's church he's writing to. This is not an apostate church he's writing to. Some denomination that's far long since gone. It's Christ's body of people. You see why I said in the beginning, I'm not trying to discourage us, but I'm trying to get every one of us to see, stick in there, keep fighting, keep drawing closer to God. Be close to God, because none of us are an exception. We can be lost. Don't you ever believe this idea that once in grace, always in grace. That's one of the lies of Satan. Once you're a Christian, you're bound for heaven. That's a lie. What they mean by that? You are bound for heaven, but it doesn't mean that once you're bound for it, there's nothing you can do to be lost. God doesn't teach that. Now, Matthew 7:21, we close with that. Let the Lord himself tell us. You know, the Lord The Bible is just wonders. You went to an examination that gave you all the answers before you took the exam. You'd say, well, this is easy, isn't it? Well, that's what the Lord, He's giving us all the answers. He's telling us before it happens how it's going to be. And look at it, Matthew 7:21. Many, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Now that's the religious worshiper, the adoration or whatever. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. No reflection upon the elders, but he didn't say, but he that doeth the will of the elders. He didn't say, but he that doeth the will of an honest conscience. He didn't say, he that doeth the will of the norm of the day. He said, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, if I understand this, think of this pathetic condition in the day of judgment. Here they are, picturing it. Standing the last day, it's over. There's nothing you can do about it. There's no changing now. And evidently, some of us are going to try to argue with the Lord. Look at it. Many, not few, many, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Now, before I read all of these, I want you to jump down a little bit and notice he didn't deny a one of these things. He didn't deny one of them. There's not a thing in the verse where he said, no, you didn't. Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils. In thy name have done many wonderful works. By the standards of today, you'd say those people are bound for heaven, right? And then I will profess unto them, oh, how pathetic. They think they're ready. They think they're going in. Life is over. This is it. And then will I say unto them, I never knew you. I don't know whether I can get the blunt of that word or not. Think of that. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Lost religious people. No wonder the Lord, through the apostles, tells us to make your calling and election sure. No wonder he tells us, be thou faithful unto death. No wonder he tells us, be careful, the lion devil, who is like a roaring lion, is going around every day looking for that one spot. And you know, I look back over my life, and there's a lot of times he's confronted me, and boy, I've met him head on. But he didn't say, well, I'm not going to try it. But you know, down, and he just never kept, he never gave up. He never gave up. And the older we get, and you know, older people, us older people, I'm getting old. I feel like it. He may wait till we're just ready to cross over and hit us head on with something we'll get weak in and let our guard down. And lose our soul. That's what a deceitful devil he is. Lost religious people. Do you get the positive part of this message? Thank God, out of this world of people who never heard of the gospel, you have been blessed to live in a country where the Bible is easy to get a hold of. You know a great deal about it, whether you are Christian or not. You may be religious. You may not be very careful about living close to God. But all of this is said tonight. If you are in a religious body that's doing things that are not up to the Bible, they're digressing, they're getting away from God, don't you weaken and go along with the crowd and this idea, well, if they'll be lost, I'll be lost too. That's dangerous. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Don't be afraid to stand and to stand up for Christ. Thanks be to God, many of you have that courage to do that. And I want to encourage you to do it, but at the same time, don't you ever let down your guard. Religious people will be lost. And may God help us that not a one here at Knollwood will be in that group. If you're religious and in this picture, you say, I'm afraid if I stood before Christ now in judgment, he'd say, I really don't know you. Don't you let tonight close around you. You come back to God and say, I'm sorry, repent of your sins. Ask him to forgive you, please, before it's too late. And get that life straightened up like it ought to be. If you're religious and you're doing things that are not what they should be, religiously, in religious service, in whatever it might be, leave it. Come out from among it. Take your stand with the Lord and said, I don't care where it leads me, Lord, I'm going to stand with you. And repent of those things that are erroneous and beg God to forgive you so that your soul will not be in jeopardy. Now, there may be some here that you know you're lost already because you've never laid hold of the blood sacrifice. You've never let the blood of Jesus cleanse your soul. You're still outside. You're still on the outside of safety. Why not tonight come inside in the body of Jesus, which he purchased with his blood? Come into Christ. Believing the gospel with all of your heart, turn away from your sin and sinful living. Confess the Lord Jesus and be buried with your Lord in baptism for the remission of sins. Whatever your need tonight, heaven's at stake. Hell is gaping open, waiting to get you. God is wanting you saved. Will you come? While we together stand.